Well, aloha, Mission Church. What a joy it is to be here on a Sunday morning. Thank you so much, Becca. You're so sweet. And just to take in all that is happening today, Karis, I've known Karis since she was about that little, and we first met in Singapore when their family lived there, and Sage, and I was visiting Thailand for NYI, a youth event, and then dropped down to Singapore, and I got them little hula skirts from Hawaii and taught them how to do the hula. And so our ties go way back, and it's so exciting to see you graduating from college now. That's beautiful. Well, anyway, with that, children, you are dismissed to go to Sunday school, and God bless you. Thank you, Auntie Renata, for taking our children. And as our children are heading out, I wanted to just a little PSA, give you guys a little, please come and join us for our youth at Rubio's today. If you didn't plan to and you don't have money, come see me. I'll take you. I'll treat you to go. Seriously. I'd love to just get as many people there so we can support our youth, and that'll be a lot of fun to do. And then we take over the whole place, and it's just like church all over again. So if there's enough people there, I'll preach my sermon again. No, just kidding. I won't do that. Last Sunday, I began a sermon series, but I didn't get a chance to tell you about it because of all the things that were going on our Sunday, last Sunday. And but I wanted to let you know that I began a sermon series last Sunday. We're going to continue it on. And it's the series on the seven I am statements of Jesus. And so this series that we're doing, I've entitled it, I Am Jesus. Because we're going to really dig into those seven I am statements that Jesus said who he was. And last week we looked at the message last Sunday was, I am the good shepherd. That's what we preached last Sunday. Today, my message is called, I am the bread of life. And we're going to dig deep into the understanding of what Jesus was saying when he said that I am the bread of life. That passage comes from John chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open it to John chapter 6. And the famous stories that come out of John chapter 6 are amazing. John chapter 6 is where the most famous story is, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we all are kind of familiar with that. Also in John chapter 6 is the when Jesus walks on water. There's another really big story in there. And in John chapter 6 is where Jesus says that I am the bread of life. And when I think back to John chapter 6 and Jesus feeding the 5,000, if you remember the story, he encourages his disciples to make sure that everyone's seated and they're going to feed the people that are there. 5,000 people. They said, you know, 6 months' wages can't feed everybody. But there was a little boy there who had his lunch, and he had five loaves and two fish, right? That's the story we get. And when I was a teenager, when I first came to church and started reading the Bible to learn and grow and understand, I was reading through John chapter 6, and I remember clearly reading John chapter 6 and the little boy having five loaves and two fish that fed 5,000 people. And as a junior high kid, I don't know what goes through your mind when you read something like that, but I said, five loaves? And so this is what I was thinking about. The kid had five of these things, right? And Jesus used the slices, like the sliced bread, prayed for it, multiplied it, and fed 5,000 people. I mean, amazing. And then, did anybody think about this? When you think about the five loaves, was this what you had in mind? No? You guys had the children's Bible with the pictures of what the loaves look like, actually? And then the two fish. What does two fish look like? Well, I have pictures of two fish. Here they are. There's one. Yeah. That'll feed about 2,000. There's the other one. See the smile? That's a genuine smile. I just took the personal privilege to share my fish pictures with you. I'm so sorry. I should never have done that. But that's a real smile. Well, two fish. What kind of fish? A salmon like that? By the way, that first fish was a giant Mekong catfish. And I don't think that they're good to eat. But maybe sardines, right? For a kid eating his lunch. Five of these and two of these. Actually, the loaves maybe look more like this for a little boy's lunch. Just maybe a little roll, maybe half the size of this, but five of them. And I remember when I was in college, finally someone was teaching on this passage of Scripture and shared about what the loaves looked like. And then for the first time in my life, I realized that it wasn't one of these, and it was kind of like one of this. And it made the miracle for me even more miraculous, that God would take so little to do so much. And so we have this amazing story of what Jesus did. And as impressed as we are of reading the story in John chapter 6 of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with so little, can you imagine being there and how impressed the Jews were of sitting there? Just, I can't imagine, 5,000 people, and Jesus taking the loaves, praying for them, and it multiplies itself with the fish. And before long, everyone gets fed, and there's 12 basketfuls of bread left over. And it's at this place, when you read John chapter 6, that the Jews realize, oh my goodness, this is the guy that we've been waiting for. He's the prophet that we've all been waiting for. They realize in John chapter 6, Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. And because of that, as you read in John chapter 6, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to make Jesus king, their king, by force. Let's make him our king. And that wasn't Jesus' plan. So Jesus moves away from them, and he withdraws, and he goes to the mountain by himself. It's all there. Open your Bible. Follow along. You can read it. So the next day comes, and the crowd's searching for Jesus. Where's Jesus? You know why? They're hungry again. Right? They had their fill yesterday, and they're hungry again. And they wanted another meal to fill their tummies. But Jesus, he wanted to give them more than a meal to satisfy their hunger. He wanted to fill their hearts. And so I want to share with you from John chapter 6, verses 26 to 35. Do we have that up here, Heather? Read along with me. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." And he says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do for the work that God requires?" And then Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So he asked them, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." And then Jesus gives them the great I am statement. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the word of God. So much is happening in this passage of Scripture. And all of that leads to Jesus revealing himself as the bread of life when he says, I am the bread of life. And so I want to unpack some of this stuff, get some context so that we understand this. And then there's a challenge in the end that I'd like to give all of us. And so we begin by knowing and understanding that the day before Jesus says all this to the Jews that are there, the day before, he uses bread and he feeds the masses, right? So bread is in the middle of this whole conversation. And then when Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life, the connection is super clear for all of them, because bread is a symbol of God's provision in the Old Testament, right? Jesus does this miracle using bread, and then the Jews, they get it, because they even make reference to it. Our ancestors had bread, you know, in verse 31. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven. And Jesus corrects their faulty thinking. No. It's not Moses that gave you the bread. It was given to you from the Father in heaven. And he, the Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so when we read this, we understand one thing. We understand that Jesus is talking about himself, right? He says, I am the bread of life. And I am the bread that God has sent down from heaven. And the correlation is super clear for everybody that's listening or paying attention. And that is this, that just as God gave the manna to save the lives of his people in the wilderness, coming out of Egypt, God is giving the bread of life for the people today so that they can truly live. It's you know, Jesus is trying to make that point really, really clear. The parallels of manna being given to the Israelites coming out of Exodus, and the parallel of that to be Jesus in this, what we're reading here in John chapter 6, it's so clear. The Israelites, they witnessed some amazing things as they came through the 400 years of slavery in Egypt. The Israelites, when they were enslaved in Egypt, prayed and prayed and prayed for hundreds of years to be liberated out of their enslavement to Egypt. And God answers their prayers, right? He sends Moses to Pharaoh to plead for the freedom of his people. And when Pharaoh says no, the plagues, one after the other, start coming. And they all break down Pharaoh a little bit more until the last plague totally crushes Pharaoh. And the Israelites see God move in the Passover. And they're witnessing all of this. And then Pharaoh finally allows the Israelites to leave. And they go quickly. And as they're going, Pharaoh changes his mind, chases after them, and God puts up a pillar of fire to keep them away. And then the miracle of God parting the Red Sea. And so the Israelites walk on dry land from one side of the sea to the other. And while they're coming across, the pillar of fire goes away. The Egyptian army rushes in and the sea collapses on them. And all of the people of Israel witness every single miracle that just took place. And now they're on the other side of the Red Sea. They have witnessed all of these amazing things. And the very thing that they have been praying for hundreds of years, they have. Their liberation and their freedom. Oh, I'm such a big fan of Braveheart, I'm tempted to go, freedom! You know, you just get that exciting thing. They're starting over. But you know, whenever you start over, it's hard. And you can read Exodus chapter 16. 2 weeks into this newfound freedom, the struggles become very, very real. There's no food here in the desert, Moses. There's no water, Moses. We are starving. And after 2 weeks, do you know what some of these Israelites want? Believe it or not, they want to go back to Egypt. We had food there. We had water. We're starving out here, Moses. And they would trade in their freedom for their convenience. It's amazing. Then God hears their complaining and their grumbling. And then God moves on their behalf again. He provides quail and manna. Another amazing miracle. And church, something, whenever we talk about this, it's hard to understand this. But God doesn't do it just for a day. It's every day for 40 years. This is what God does. Every day for 40 years. Who in here is 40? Jeff Allen? I knew you would raise your hand. Jeff, listen to this. Every day for 40 years, God was faithful to provide for the Israelites. That's amazing. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 14 and 15, when the dew, this is what happens, when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is this?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." By the way, trivia. Manna, that word manna, you know what it means? It means, "What is this?" That's what manna means. Because they didn't know what it was. And with the manna came some specific instructions that God gave. And you probably heard this already if you read it. Only take what you need for the day. Do not take any more. Don't take an extra portion for yourself. It's not going to be good. And God commanded it. So Moses told everybody, but not everybody listened. Most of the people listened, but some took extra for tomorrow. And I see some heads nodding. You understand where this is going. You know the story. The next day, the extra manna turned sour. It not only turned sour, it became rotten. And maggots filled it. And that upset God, right? He said, don't do that. Only take for what you need. And God took this time to prepare His people so that when they entered into the promised land, their hearts would be right to go. Because think about this. Here are people that just came out of Egypt being enslaved for 400 years. And God has promised them a place of their own. But God knows that they're not ready for it. And so before you enter the promised land, God wants to get their heart right. God wants to have them aligned with His will. And God wants to have the right relationship with His people before they enter into the promised land. And here's where the Israelites needed help. As I think we do. These are the parallels. The first thing is, the Israelites needed to know that God is faithful. It's so important, before you enter the promised land, to know I am faithful. And God needed His people to know that. Because if they entered into the promised land not knowing that God is faithful, it'd just as well be Egypt again. Still in bondage to something and not living in freedom for God. And they needed to be reminded that God does what He says He will do. Maybe not in our time, but surely in His. And He always keeps His word. And we find it even in our own lives that God truly does provide the things that we need. Now, was the journey for the Israelites easy? No, it was not. But again, no one ever said it was going to be easy. But in it all, God did truly answer their prayers. They prayed for liberation and freedom from the Egyptians, and God gave that to them. And they're free now, no longer slaves. And when hard times come, what was their response? 2 weeks into it, what was their response? Was their response to all the things that they witnessed and saw God do, was their response falling on their knees, worshiping God, praising Him for the great things that He has done? Or after 2 weeks of struggling in the desert, were they ready to go back to Egypt, be enslaved all over again, and grumble and fight with one another? And miss the whole goodness of what God would have them see in the promised land. God showed His faithfulness. And He did it by providing every single day the needs of His people for 40 years. Every day. Building their faith in God. Don't take any more than you need. Trust me. For today. And so building on that faithfulness, God wanted His people to do that very thing. Trust Him for each day. Not for tomorrow. Not for 2 weeks later. Not for when you retire. Trust me for each day. Don't take more than you need. And know this, I am faithful. But you need to trust me. And can I just tell you? It's hard, isn't it? It was hard for the Israelites to trust God every day, each moment by moment, because some took extra not believing and not trusting. And it's hard for us to trust Him every day. It is. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes it's difficult. Life is hard. And when it doesn't go our way, or things are tough, it's we think, oh, where's God in all of this? And this is the problem. The Israelites just witnessed God freeing them from 400 years of slavery, Zach. Taking them out of Egypt, breaking Pharaoh's heart, putting up a pillar of fire, parting the Red Sea. They saw all of that. And still they grumble. Where's God now? Right? So God helps them. Take what you need only for the day. Don't store up any more than you need. Trust me every single day. Oh man, this is good. And that's what they did for 40 years. God drilled it into them. And then, all of that led to this final point of helping the Israelites prepare themselves to get into the promised land. The final point is, after I have done all of these things for you, you trusting me every single day, remember. Remember, don't forget any of this. That's why they celebrated the Passover every year. The call was not to forget the goodness of God. Because it's so easy to forget how good God is. The really deeper message in all of this is that before you go into the promised land, I don't want you to love the promised land more than you love me. I don't want you to love the gifts that I give you more than you love me. Because you know what? To be honest with you, we do that so well, don't we? I do. I forget about all the good things God blesses me with. But every single day, like today, I jump in my truck and I drive to work. And I don't give any thought of it, but I'm so grateful for my truck. And I don't know when the last time I said, thank you, God, that I get to drive this really cool red truck. See, we love the things that God gives to us. And sometimes we just completely forget about who the giver is. And God did not want His people to come into the promised land forgetting how faithful He is. And the call for His people to trust in Him for each day and to remember all of the things that leads us to where we're at, even though it might be really, really tough right now. And for some people, today is. Look at God's faithfulness. Don't forget how faithful He is, because that faithfulness will take you into the promised land. Because when you get into the promised land, guess what? It's not going to be a bowl of cherries. They struggled in the promised land as well. And they needed to know that God would be faithful. And they needed to trust God every single day, every moment of each day. And they need to remember the faithfulness of God through the generations. Of all of the prayers that God has answered. 400 years of slavery being liberated. And here we are now free. But 2 weeks into their freedom, the response of the Israelites, after watching all of God, all that God did to deliver them, they didn't fall down and worship and praise Him. There was no complete devotion to God. Instead, they grumbled and they complained and they quarreled. There's no food. There's no water. How much further is the promised land? Moses, who made you boss? They forgot. And you know what I believe? That their grumbling and complaining, it wasn't about the challenging circumstances that they were facing. They weren't grumbling about the challenging circumstances. The core issue is, it was just, the problem is, that was the condition of their heart. Because when they were enslaved, they grumbled about their enslavement. When Moses showed up, they didn't really want to follow Him at first. And then when they get their freedom, they're still not happy. Complaining all through the wilderness. Their complaining was not rooted in their circumstances, but in the condition of their heart. So here's the parallel to Jesus. God wanted to change the hearts of His people before they enter the promised land. And in the same way, God wants to change our hearts as well too. You see, Jesus beautifully demonstrates the faithfulness of God. Amen? I mean, I got all my notes here. And I don't even need to say it, because you know already. Right? He is the bread of life that came to show God's faithfulness in so many different ways, from answering the prayers that we've prayed in the past to meeting our daily needs. And God doing something that no one else in this world could ever do. And that is giving us a Savior, surrendering and giving up His own, sacrificing His own Son, so you and I can know salvation for ourselves and bring forgiveness to all people and set them free from bondage to sin. That's why Jesus came, to reinforce the faithfulness of God. And he came to bring us the message of salvation. Even here in John chapter 6, verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. The food that endures for eternal life. Get your hearts right. Because God is faithful. And then Jesus calls all people. He calls us today to put our trust in Him for today. Just today. Like the manna in the wilderness, Jesus, the bread of life, is to be received by His followers daily. Cannot stress that more often or even stronger. That's why Dish.com is such an important thing in this church, because it calls us to get into God's Word every single day, to memorize that Word, to grasp the Word by hearing it and reading it and studying it and memorizing it and applying it. And when we do, we have a firm grasp of God's Word. And we need a daily portion of Jesus for today. When Jesus taught His disciples the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, give us today our daily bread. And He was talking about physical nourishment for sure, but also a daily portion of Jesus first in our lives, to make Him the priority, seeking Him first. And then in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says these words, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, pick up their cross daily, and follow me. That's the call for each of us. I know life is tough. A lot of you college students are struggling to get ready to end the year well, and I get it, right? And you're struggling through this time. In fact, as I look around the church, everybody's struggling with something. And it's so easy to just look forward to the future. But God calls us to trust Him just for today. Just like the manna in the wilderness, the bread of life is to be received daily. Because when we receive that daily, we make a connection with God. And like the message that I shared last Sunday, connection is everything. And when we have that connection with God, and when we remember that God is faithful, when we see that God is faithful, remembering then is the antidote to the grumbling that the Israelites lived. Remembering with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving in every situation, even in the midst of suffering, because we know that God has been faithful and He still is. And that's one of the things that God gave Moses to tell the people before you enter the promised land. You've got to know this. I'm faithful. So remember that you are free in Christ Jesus. Remember, this world will pass away one day. But the saving grace is that Jesus shares with us is for all eternity. Yeah. And you know what Jesus did? He instituted this with bread. And that is something that I'm so grateful for whenever we come to this table of grace, that God's grace is shared with us in a tangible way to help us to remember. So if the ushers would come forward, I'd like to end our service today by taking a piece of bread and living into the message of today. And that message is to remember that God is faithful. and to also know that His call is for us to trust Him for each day. And then taking this bread, that we would be called to remember the sacrifice that was made for you and for me. And so in a moment, our worship team is going to lead us in a song. Would you take this piece of bread, and we're going to pass this around. You don't have to come up. And hold on to it till everyone is served. And I'd like to close in this time with a prayer with you. Hold on to the bread, and we'll all eat it at the same time. Holding the bread in your hand, may this be a tangible means of grace for you, to remind you today that God is faithful, and to call you into a trust of our Lord and Savior for just today. And when tomorrow comes, trust Him again, just for the day. And there's something written on our communion table. It's there every time we take it. It's a reminder for us to do this in remembrance of Him. Do not forget all that God has done for you, for me, for this church. If we forget that, we become like the Israelites complaining in the desert. But we have this to remind us. Shall we eat together? Father in heaven, thank you for your Son, Jesus. We speak His name because He lives in our hearts. And we are reminded through Him that you truly are faithful. Help us, Lord God, to put our trust in you for today. To remember of all that you've done and not forget. So that as we journey forward, Lord God, we know you are with us every step of the way. May your favor and your grace be upon your people, because we pray this in your name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Go in God's faithfulness today. You are dismissed.